Welcome. Welcome to this edition of LBC Connections. And as we gather, albeit remotely, we gather as a community of God's children, believers in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And as we do that, we are a community of people who worship, love, serve, and discover Jesus together. We continue this week our series from Matthew chapter 5, looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And last week we looked at the Beatitudes. And although we're not going to revisit them completely, we need to remember that as Jesus shared these words with his disciples, that's us if we know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. That's us if we have surrendered our life to him. So those words speak to us as much as they did to the disciples 2,000 years ago. We find in those words of Jesus an identity which Jesus describes as blessed. 8 times he says that we are blessed. That is, we are in receipt of God's gracious gifts. And 8 times he says what that blessing is. Because they are poor in spirit, because we mourn, because we are humble, because we hunger and thirst for justice, because we are merciful, because we are pure of heart, and because we are peacemakers, and because we are persecuted for the kingdom. We will be heirs of the kingdom. We will know comfort. We will inherit the earth. We will be satisfied and receive mercy. We will see God. That is, we will know him and we will enjoy him. And we will be children of God. And because of this, it follows straight on. Because of this identity, because of this blessing, because of these promises of God, something has happened. Something has happened to each and every one of us. And as we open this section up, we find these words of Jesus: you are the salt of the earth. He's not saying this to the crowd. He's saying this to his disciples. You are. It's a factual statement, just as the Beatitudes describe and tell us who we are and what God has done and is doing for us. We see Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Not only is this descriptive of who we are, but it also gives us a clear understanding that there is a division within the world. For there is the salty people, the disciples of Jesus, and there is the rest of humanity, the world. In Jesus' day, salt was well known. It was used for various things, and in particular, it was used for preserving things and for adding flavor to things. And somehow the disciples' presence brings a healing and stifles the decay of the world around us. As salt, we come as disciples of Jesus with something that the world doesn't have, something that the world needs. And as we do that, this salt, as we rub up against the world, as we rub up against people, as we rub up against the things that are happening around us, something in us of God brings an influence and an impact on the community in which we are. As disciples of Jesus, we bring a flavor to the world, a flavor which the world doesn't know, a flavor of hope, of life, life eternal. We bring a flavor that gives identity and purpose to life, and gives meaning to life, real meaning, real purpose, real identity, as our identity is formed in and transformed by the image of Christ in us. The scope of this work is not just limited to just a few, for all the disciples are salty, and all the disciples are called to impact the world in which we find ourselves. It's not just this town, it's not just this country, this nation. For we are, the disciples collectively, are the salt of the earth. But then there comes, with this responsibility, with this identity, there comes a warning. And Jesus says, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot. It is worthless. Jesus urges his disciples, warns his disciples, to remain salty or they will lose their capacity to impact the world. They will become useless and worthless and despised. To lose its flavor can be understood and also be translated as foolish, and we'll make a comment about that in a moment, but just think of salt losing its flavor. Salt really can't lose its flavor, you might say. We need to understand that the salt in Jesus' day was a bit of a sludge rather than the refined crystals that we are so familiar with today. The salt was full of other impurities, and the salt could easily be leached or lost from that compound. And then that compound was useless. It was no good for healing. It was no good for preserving. It lost its saltiness. It was thrown away. It was trampled on. It was worthless and useless. As I said just before, these words can also be translated as don't become foolish. And we know later in Jesus' teaching, we find that the foolish man builds his house on the sand and is washed away. And just here too, it says, don't be foolish. Don't allow your saltiness to be lost, to be washed away in the overwhelming aspects of life, the pressures that come. Don't become foolish and lose your saltiness and then be cast aside. Not only are we salt, not only do we bring a flavor to the world in which we live, not only do we bring hope and preservation to a world that is lost and decaying and dying in sin. But we also bring light. And again, Jesus frames this up. You are the light of the world. It is emphatic. It is clear. It is non-negotiable. Jesus' words are a declaration about who his disciples are. You are light of the world. And again, we get that division. The disciples are the salty ones. And the world are the ones that are in need of that salt. And again, here we see that the disciples are the light of the world. And the world, the rest of humanity, is in need of this light. We know that Jesus also says that he is the light of the world. And it's interesting that he should use the same image of his disciples. For as he is formed in us, we bring the same message and the same hope that he brought and declared to us. And the victory that was won by him on the cross becomes part of the message of hope, life, and therefore brings light into a world that is in darkness. If you remember back to Ephesians last year, in chapter 5, Paul talks about those that were formerly lost, dying and in darkness. And then he talks about we have become light. Not light is in us, but we have actually been transformed from darkness to light. That's us. That's each and every one of those that are disciples of Jesus. It is an unavoidable consequence of who we are in Christ. Jesus makes the comment then, like a city on a hilltop, it can't be hidden. The light that is in us, the people that we have become as disciples of Jesus, cannot be hidden away. It stands out as in stark contrast in the world in which we live, like light and dark. There's no in between. Jesus goes on to make another analogy or another, tells another image of light. And he says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. We have become light. And there is an expectation that we won't cover that light or hide that light. We will allow our light that is within us to shine into the world in which God has placed us. The light that we have will illuminate in the dark and in the lost world and bring the truth and the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of this saltiness, all of this light shining brings glory to our Father in heaven. Jesus goes on to say, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. This see is not just see as in see it, but see as in comprehend, understand. So that then, once they get this understanding and knowledge from the experience of the saltiness and the light of God's people in the world, they will know God. They will see God. They will be in receipt of God's gracious gifts and God's gracious blessings too. They too will be sons and daughters of the living God. And they too will give praise to our Heavenly Father. As a community, I believe we are salt and light. We know that we allow the gospel to shine through us in many different ways. We support overseas missionaries, and we support them financially and through prayer, and we've journeyed with some of those for many years. As a community, we have an op shop, the Mustard Tree. And the Mustard Tree is an amazing place. And so often, people that don't know, that live in darkness, come in and they say, what a wonderful place. There's something different about this place. It gives opportunity for us to rub against them with the salt of the truth of the gospel and to shine the light of hope and life into their lives. Other activities in the Mustard Tree area, the food bank, again, we meet so many people. We share who we are with them. We pray for them. We see their lives being changed bit by their encounter with us, or with Christ in us, should I say. Some of you may recall Marnix, a young man who was struggling for life amidst addictions and losses. He found hope, he found life, life eternal, through the work and the ministry of God's Spirit in and through the Mustard Tree. Although he's passed now, I am confident that Marnix is living a life, a good life, in the presence of our Lord and Savior. The community table is another opportunity. Week by week, when the op shop is running, we have people from the community come in and sit and share a meal. And there's a place that others can come. I invite you, come on a Tuesday during school terms. Sit with folk from the community. Engage in their stories and their lives, and share the salt and the light of the gospel that is in you, that is in us. A man I've met, we'll call him Bill, from the community table. The first time I met him, 3, maybe 4 years ago, I was introducing myself and he looked at me and he said to me, you're not one of those churchy kind of people, are you? I stir him about this often now. And over the years, over this season, Bill has come to a place where he now asks things of God, where he asks for understanding. He talks about his own journey of faith and how it has stalled. And I see in Bill a rekindling of his faith and hope. And my hope, my prayer for Bill is that through us, through me, through this ministry that God is doing in us and with us, that the salt and light that Jesus calls us to be and says we are will bring hope and life, life eternal to Bill, that he might give praise to his Heavenly Father too. Through the weekly craft group, Make and Mingle, there each week there is something shared of the gospel. People's lives are rubbed into the salt and experience the light of the gospel week by week, encouraging, transforming, drawing people towards and into the kingdom of God. Through our play groups, in our Kids Hope and other ministries in the life of the church. We are salt and we are light. And we must be careful to allow our light to shine. And we must be careful that we remain salty and not overwhelmed by the influence of the world in which we live. One commentator makes these words, wrote these words as a summary of this passage. And he says this: what do these images of salt and light contribute? They emphasize the missional identity and lifestyle of a disciple. While participating in God's empire is blessed, it mandates an alternative way of life that challenges the status quo. This is a costly demand for a minority and a marginal community, vulnerable to being overpowered by or accommodating itself to dominant culture. The two images strengthen that identity and direct its way of a life in a hostile context. I guess my question for you, for us, is, are we remaining salty? And how visible is the light shining through us and in us? I encourage you, I challenge you, in your home, in your workplace, in the community in which God has placed you, whether that's study or whatever it is, as a mom, as a dad, as a young person that has come and coming to know Jesus, allow the saltiness of the gospel to bite into the lives of those around you, to bring hope and preservation to lives that are being lost and dying. Let your light shine into the darkness, that it might open the way up, that it might bring hope, that it might bring joy and peace to lives that are otherwise lost, dark, and desolate. So as God's people, we are blessed. And as God's people, we are salt and light. Salt of the earth and light to the world, that others may know and give praise to our Heavenly Father. Let us give thanks. Father, we give you thanks that we can come into your presence. We give you thanks for the many blessings that we have received from you. We give you thanks for the promises that we have in Scripture. And Father, we thank you for the way that you've called us into your mission for reconciling the world to you. Strengthen us, Father. Enable us to be salty in all we do and in all we say. Help us, Father. Enable us and strengthen us to let our light shine, the light which is your light in us, into a world that is lost and dark, that others may come to know you, that they may see you, that they may follow you, that they may give praise to you as their Heavenly Father. For we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.